We are back again.
I'm in like the middle of the two most stressful weeks of the year, so this is about to be a fun one. No place I'd rather be than recording this podcast with you.
I would also say it's the two most stressful weeks of the year, but it just meant that this week I left my house more than normal. And I'm like, how do people do this every day?
And yet you still did not go to the event with me we had planned. That's okay. Didn't you get like a lobotomy?
I did.
That's okay.
Guys, I'm on my lobotomy journey.
I saw you post that photo of your like brain getting scanned or whatever. And I was like, I was responding and I was like, you know what? It's not for the DMs. Like whatever answer you want, she's not going to give you in writing. So like, let me just...
Okay, so I'm on my transcranial magnetic stimulation journey.
You're going to have to sound that one out for me.
Is a form of, not me sounding like I don't know what I'm talking about, but you know what? That's fine.
It's not your job to know about your brain. It's fine. No.
It basically just, literally, it stimulates parts of your brain with magnetic pulses.
Okay.
And it's meant to help with many things, many cognitive issues.
Okay.
Depression, anxiety, OCD, brain fog, a lot of shit. It's been fog for a year. Also, their press offered it to me for free. So.
Okay, I wanted to respectfully ask, how did we get here?
It's not like when you go to get like a beauty service, that's an expensive gate-kept thing. I think depending on your access to psychiatric care, this is something that is accessible to many people. It's just that you wouldn't know about it unless your psychiatrist told you about it. My friend Robin Black, who's a makeup artist.
Is that Beauty's Boring?
Yeah, Beauty's Boring. That's her Instagram handle. She did a full course of this particular machine / company. Like the TM of it all is called ExoMind, but there are other different types of machines. I think it's kind of just like a brand name thing.
Okay.
It's like Kleenex versus tissue. But she said she felt a huge, huge difference in her executive function.
Huh.
And I was like, I need that.
How many sessions are you doing?
I'm going to do 5 or 6. I'm writing about it.
I was going to ask.
Yeah, I am for Airmail.
Cute.
Of course, they were like, we can offer you more based on... I was like, fine.
Of course, it's Airmail.
Fucking blackmail me.
No shade.
It would... No, this is like the perfect thing for Airmail.
Airmail, if you're listening to this.
My year of tests and vexations.
Well, that's exciting.
I am excited. It is funny because like even in therapy this week... I was just talking about my life, and then my therapist is like, have you ever heard the term executive dysfunction? And I was like, tell me more.
What is it?
Basically, you know what you have to do, and you know what you're supposed to do, but you just can't organize or do it.
Hmm.
It's like, okay, now go. And then you're like, no, which is exactly what I do. So, hooray.
Meanwhile, I can't stop doing things, and that's why I feel crazy.
Give me some of that.
I literally, this is not a complaint, but I've just got a lot on my plate right now. And on Tuesday, we went to this Abel event and it was really lovely. I missed you by like literally 30 seconds.
Probably, yeah.
But I was like working like fucking crazy all day. I hop in the back of the Uber. I'm working in the car on the way to Soho. I like close my laptop. I run into the event and I was like, and it wasn't super crazy. It was actually a really lovely event. Mm-hmm. But just going, slamming my computer shut, getting there, getting in. I was like, I feel like I'm about to have a fucking brain aneurysm.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
Getting right in, talking to the publicist, like, seeing our, friends and contacts and whatever. I was like, oh, you did not take a breath the entire day. Like, you are pushing it. So, happy October to all who celebrate.
It makes me think of when I did have a job.
Yeah.
And, like, when I worked at Allure and it was expected. Like, part of the job is just you have to go to these events. Sometimes they're in the morning before work, sometimes they're after work, and you would go to several a week. So I'm kind of just like, they're really getting like 10-hour work days out of everybody,
right?
And like, we don't get overtime for that.
But it's
shit.
Also, you can't be at your desk then too. So
you're expected to respond to everybody on Slack.
Exactly.
So I was like, guys, come on.
Yeah. So what a month for us.
What a month. There have been so many events this week. I feel, and you know what it was, and I always think of that one clip of like Lana Del Rey, and she's like, it's like somebody in a pickup truck, and then she comes up to the window and it's like blurry sunny, and she's like shielding her eyes and she goes, just so you know, I can do hard things. I did wake up before 1 p.m. today.
That's you.
Me going to a 9:30 a.m. event being like, just so you know, I can do hard things.
I love it.
And then going to that event, derailing my entire sleep schedule for the rest of the week.
Because of a 9:30 event?
I just slept like shit the night before. It's like when you know you have to wake up early and you're like, go to sleep. And your body's like, no. Do it.
I feel that.
Yeah.
I have been sleeping like shit too, but hopefully I'm going to rectify that after this week. I did run into that Abel event this week. And they had this table of like
the jellies.
Jellies. Yeah. Like these little jello squares.
I ate one and immediately regretted it.
I ate one and loved it. And then I panicked.
Which one did you eat?
I ate more than one. I ate both. I immediately said to the person next to me after devouring one, I was like, is there weed in these? I don't know why I thought there'd be fucking a thousand edibles a perfume event, but
that would be so unwise.
That was my anxiety talking.
Yeah.
But there were not, so I had a couple more.
I think it was the same like food artist people who did the Glossier Rev and Do event, also with the weird stuff on the table.
That was...
Yeah.
I don't think we should have eaten any of that.
I don't think we should have eaten it. Well, something about things just being slopped on a table surface. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know about this, you guys.
I am... God, every event I've been to in the last 2 weeks, I'm sort of back in that weird, like, I don't even want to say it, that like COVID mindset of like, this is a petri dish. There are so many germs here. What is it? Why are we all so close?
Every time I leave my house for the day and go into an enclosed space with people, when I get home, I do a nasal rinse.
Yeah.
And I think it saved me from getting sick at times.
I love being old and crazy.
Yeah. No. I mean, also like my sinuses are so delicate now. Yeah. And I like fucking smell things for a living.
Yeah.
I can't be not doing that.
No, I get it.
For real. But yeah, after that event. And I also noticed that maybe it's like a subconscious thing that I have that same thought where like we're in a fucking petri dish. Everybody's shouting in each other's faces. Yeah. My body will want to yawn, but I think it's just because I've been shallowly breathing this whole time because I'm afraid.
Right. Well, the event with Abel was great.
It was cool.
To smell all of their
really cool space.
Collection. Really cool space, actually.
Yeah. It was like a speaker store, which I didn't realize.
And coffee shop.
Oh, I didn't know that.
This is like the most New York conversation ever. It was a speaker store.
/coffee shop/boutique/ Yeah.
Atelier.
I nabbed a bottle of The Apartment, which is the one of the ones I didn't have.
I don't know the difference between that and Coat Check.
They're totally different fragrances. Coat Check is Black Anise. The Apartment is something all its own.
You're right.
Yeah.
Is this one the one that's a little cherry forward?
Yes. Yeah. This is like the cherry one, which is interesting because I had this fragrance when it came out. Mm-hmm. Their PR sent it to me. And with the rebrand, all of the fragrances have been reformulated, I believe.
Really?
Yeah, because they're using non-fossil fuel ingredients.
Weren't they always?
I don't...
I think they were always.
I think we have the technology now. So they updated shit. Every time they have better alternatives, they will update a formula for it.
Got it.
So they can like get closer to that goal, which is cool.
I love that we talked to them 5 minutes ago. And still
I'm pretty sure they did reformulate everything. Yeah. It's nice, but it's not as thickly cherry as last time as I remember. And really? I don't have it to do a side by side. But this one feels more subtle.
Okay.
The new Apartment.
That one feels fucking bold to me.
It's bold.
Yeah.
It's heady. But the other one I feel like was more like cherry.
Okay.
And this is like cherry.
Sable, what do you smell like today? I just feel like this one's going to be a twisty, turny one. Speaking of
berries.
The way that everyone on earth was at this event and I was not. Well, it was in the day, though.
During the day.
I love having a job.
I smell like Dorsay Holy Berry Extrait. It is one of their new extraits. They had an event this week, a little preview. I spoke with, I think, the CEO of the brand, Amelie, and she gave me a tour of the collection. And when we got to Holy Berry, which I was just like, I'm not a fruit person. I'm probably like, who cares?
You're not a fruit person?
I'm not a fruit person. You know this about me.
I don't think I know that about you. I also don't think it's true.
Well,
let me tell you about yourself.
No, I think you're right. I think I don't think I'm a fruit person.
Sure.
So I have a bias.
Yeah.
But when I smell this, holy shit, just completely, what's the word I'm looking for? Just defied all my expectations. It is...
Defied all... Okay.
Yeah. Lactonic strawberry milk and oud, which sounds crazy.
Yeah.
But it's so, so good. It is a spicy, warm, woody strawberry at first. At first, I get the sweet, creamy strawberry of it. But then there's also this warmth and spice and this like kind of fuzzy texture. And then once it dries down, the strawberry kind of dissipates into more of like a sweet creaminess. And then what's left is this very resinous, ambery base. And it is funny because I feel like I sprayed it on maybe 2 hours ago. And now it kind of just smells like an ambery, suedey oud. on me.
Wait, let me smell it on you. Because you're freaking me out with the oud. Yeah. Oh, wow.
So nice.
That's so different, though.
And what's interesting is that they call it a white oud. And then what's even more interesting is that there isn't actually any oud in this or strawberry.
What?
The perfumer, who's, I'm going to say this name incorrectly, I apologize, Tanguy Guznet. I just remember her saying that he was a new perfumer at Givaudan. Okay. So we got the fresh blood, we got the fresh energy, and he created the strawberry milk accord using blackberry and then other names of things that sounded scientific that I don't remember.
Okay.
But I just thought it was really interesting how they're calling it strawberry milk and they're calling it white oud, but like none of those things are actually in it, which is like, wow, it's like a magic trick. Did you smell the strawberry like when you first sprayed it?
I smell it. Yeah. Ton of strawberry.
Yeah.
Like it's a very like juicy,
milky.
To me, it's like a deep strawberry.
Yeah. I kind of get strawberry ice cream.
It's going way darker for me, but it's only on the blotter though. So.
Yeah. But it's so good. Yeah. It's so, so good. And it's, I don't think I've ever smelled anything like this. I know like we talked a bit about fruity ouds before.
Yeah.
And those to me are always like a little bit bitter and sharp.
Yeah.
But this is so warm and creamy and like suede. It's so beautiful. Like, holy moly.
I'm scared of this one. It's really pretty. I don't know that I... Well, now after all of that, I do want to wear it on skin because I do feel like it evolves past what I'm smelling now.
It does.
I really like this as an idea. I don't know that it's for me, but I would wear it.
It's a little... It's pretty punchy.
Yeah.
I wore it a couple days this week, and this happens often where I'll, like, aim a perfume at my neck and like close my eyes and spray and it sprays me in the face. So the whole fucking side of my face, I just sprayed this straight. I was like, great. Well, I guess I'm walking around like that now with my fucking face smelling like this. And that's when it was like a little too strong. I was like, okay, this is making me a little nauseous because it's truly on my cheek. Yeah. So, but it's so pretty. And then I noticed a couple other people who went to that little showroom event posting about it. And they said the same thing. They're like, holy shit, this is so good.
I saw a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I will wear this at some point. I'm interested and spooked.
I have their discovery kit of their D'Orsay's regular Eau de Parfum collection. And I have I really liked EQ.
Okay.
And a lot of them felt very like delicate and French and pretty. So this is a really, really bold, punchy perfume from them. They have other X-rays that are also pretty punchy. Their second new X-ray was Rose Blaze, which is, it's nice. Yep. But I'm like, I'm not the person to talk to you about Rose. Because I'm just like, cool, it's Rose. Right. Okay. Tynan, what do you smell like today?
We talked about this a bit, but now it's finally out and on my skin. I'm wearing Bianco Parfumo Cafe Amaro.
Oh my gosh.
Which I've been waiting for this one for like over a year. And it's finally here. And it was every bit worth the wait. I love it so, so much.
I remember they sent us lab samples a while ago.
Like a while
ago. Is it the same?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I was talking to the owner and he said like, ooh, it's even better. And... Sure. To me, it feels consistent with what I smelled last year, but in the best way. Like, man, it's sort of just everything I love. I don't know. I've been thinking a lot about doing a fragrance, and it wouldn't be anything like this, but like this is so close to sort of the idea and the approach that I would personally take. So I'm just like excited by it. So it's, you know, as the name would imply, coffee and Amaro. And if you don't know, an Amaro is a very sort of spicy Italian liqueur that is usually... reserved for after dinner. Fernet is one that's probably the most famous. I do too. I think Malort is one.
Wouldn't know.
It's a very Chicago thing. So this one has Amaro, orange bitters, artemisia, bitter fennel, hello, love, parsley liqueur, Jeanette. What is Jeanette? Remind me.
I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm not the person to ask about drinks.
No. I think Jeanette's a flower. We'll look it up. Patchouli, hazelnut, and espresso liqueur. It's just like so fucking good. I mean... You do get a lot of the bitterness from the Amaro, and you get the depth and sort of also bitterness from the coffee, but a little bit of that sweetness too. And then there's the hazelnut. It's just sort of absolutely, to me, delicious. It's so, so good. Wait, I'm wearing a lot of it. It's like sort of all on my arm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Right?
That's really good. Damn. It's like coffee, but with like a... Like almost like a zesty, bitter citrus edge to it.
Yes. Jeanette refers to the bloom flower, which is warm, sweet, floral, and honey-like. Okay. Yeah, no, it's... I guess it's bitter first, but in a way that shouldn't scare you off. And
yeah, it was not overly bitter. I think bitter is just like a textural kind of thing.
Yeah. And it really does remind me of, this feels like a fragrance for the service industry and the nightlife girls. Because like, in a, I feel like a certain type of person drinks Amaro, you know, that they're out late, they're out a lot. They sort of have a palate for alcohol, I guess I want to say. And, you know, there's the espresso, there's the sweetness from the sort of more, you know, hazelnut, I guess, Jeanette, which I just learned 2 seconds ago. And I love a fennel moment. The parsley is really interesting. The orange bitters. It really is a fragrance for a bar or an after dinner.
I feel like Italian restaurants, like old school Italian restaurants, always have like an after dinner liqueur menu or like a dessert liqueur menu. And that's what this reminds me of.
Yeah.
Like when I was in... It makes me think of when I was in high school and I had a job as like a cater waiter at a country club on Long Island. And we did a lot of events like weddings and bar mitzvahs and christenings, whatever. And at the end of the night, when everyone's like drunk and like dancing and stuff, they would ask for after dinner liqueurs.
Yeah.
And again, I was 17 and probably shouldn't have been serving liquor, but they would ask for stuff like, and I was like, what did he just say?
Yeah.
He was like, and it's in like also like a really thick Long Island accent. So he was like, sweetie, can I get an Amaro? And I was like, what?
What?
And then I'd like ask another one. They're like, oh yeah, I know what it means. So
that's like, funny. Yeah. It really does remind me of my 9-10 years of bartending because Amaros are sort of, Fernet, I think specifically, is like very... service industry thing. And if you know you're running from bars on the block to get ice or get the six pack of something you ran out of, you'll often they'll often offer you a shot, and it's either always Jameson, which is a whiskey, or a Fernet. So this really reminds me of all of that, and it's so lovely. I don't know, I'm so happy it's finally really here. I'm so happy it exists. Ugh, shout out to Bianco Profumo,
shout out
Chicago's best, well no, one of Chicago's fave. There's many, many exciting things and fragrance happening in Chicago, and we love our Midwest community.
In my head, I was just like, are there?
Clue?
Like, wait, no. Yeah, Clue.
Pair of hat.
Yes. Three perfumers we know in Chicago.
Better than none.
That's true.
Before us sit...
Yeah.
What was I going to ask you?
I don't know.
Oh, I kind of want to talk about something, but I don't want to talk about it yet. We'll go through. Vamp on this for a minute. I'm going to see if there's one more thing that should be on this table because it's going to prompt me.
Okay. So we've got a lot of new releases this week. Maybe not new, just new to me because they just showed up at my door. But one of which is Fleur's Cashmere Skin Body Mist, which as soon as I sprayed it, I was immediately like, oh, that's warm vanilla sugar. Yeah. Is it a one-to-one? I don't know. But it's close enough.
I think I have an ingrown in my fucking pube right now. Sorry.
What?
Sorry, that was TMI. This is what it's like to host a podcast with your best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cashmere is having a massive moment right now.
They have a vanilla skin, right?
They have so Skin's a whole franchise for Fleur. Oh, they have a vanilla skin, caramel skin, peach skin.
Right. Okay, now I'm getting it.
Yeah.
I get vanilla from this, like heavy vanilla. So that's why I was just like, why don't you just make those one the real?
Wow.
Like, right? I immediately like, or something nutty. It's like vanilla and almond.
It's pretty.
It is pretty.
It's a little lighter weight than I thought.
Interesting. Well, I guess it's cashmere.
What who can say? No, but.
But I was literally like, you could also save the money and just buy more vanilla sugar.
No. Lots of cashmere happening right now. Fleur, EOS just put out a holiday. No, I think EOS just expanded their cashmere body collection. They all sound delicious. And
the egg balm people.
The egg balm people, yeah. That have moved into body.
People are doing cashmere.
Some other brands.
I think it's a very appealing note to call out now or a chord because it's luxury.
Cashmere is all I've been thinking about for months now, if that tells you anything about what I'm working on. So, yeah.
Anyway, is that what you wanted to talk about? Oh, my God.
Yes, but not yet. I have a thought.
All right.
Unfortunately.
Okay.
Lore.
Lore.
The girls have been asking us about Miss Lore.
We got all the fragrances.
So to run you back, Lore is a new, very chic, very artful, and pretty affordable fragrance collection that is available in Sephora. It has been started by sort of like the Avengers of the beauty industry. Lots of people who came from Rode, Milk.
Your favorite
like,
venture capitalist
heroes. Like name a beauty brand and they have someone from their C-suite. So we have all the scents. We have smelled them. And
the bottles are so nice.
Wait, before you take that out, I think, put it back in. Open it. So one of my favorite things is like I'm being the biggest pain in the ass right now. The way these sit is so pretty.
Yeah.
The way that was
it's
designed
like a custom mold
is like
packaging box and their little sarcophaguses.
Yeah. The box opens like a book and then the fragrance is sitting in there and it's a little sort of curved cardboard like place.
It's like a molded
It's just
cardboard thingy.
So, I don't know it's why nice. That was so stunning to me, but
it's
so
also
beautiful.
I hate when you buy a fragrance or get a open a fragrance and it's like jammed into whatever's holding it there.
Yeah.
And it takes like the jaws of life to get it out.
Totally.
All the like foam packed ones are like that, I feel. Yeah.
So there are four scents here. I think we are very excited about two of them.
I talked about one last episode.
Yeah. So you talked about Lovely and a Little Twisted.
I talked about Lovely and a Little Twisted, which I really enjoy.
Yes.
You have been really liking Disfruta.
Yes. Everything except the name. Disfruta is really... I mean, it's very up my alley. It's
passion fruit.
It's the fruity one, but it is passion fruit, pulp, agave nectar, and mezcal, and neroli. And it is so, so, so good. It's basically just like a big, juicy, spicy passion fruit. I love a passion fruit moment. We know this. And this one really gives me what I crave out of them. I feel like I'm often sort of like... as a very wise woman once said, give me more when it comes to passion fruit scents. But this one really gives it to me. And I love the spice from the mezcal, which is a spicy varietal of tequila. And it's just like, I sprayed this on. This is the one I wore last. And at the minute I put it on, I was like, yeah, this is what I was waiting for. Like, this is what I was hungry for from Lore and from passion fruit and from the whole launch. So I love it.
Yeah. And smell that again.
And when I wore Lovely and a Little Twisted, I liked it, I think, as much as you did it. You really like it.
I thought that was the most interesting of the bunch.
Yeah.
Just something I haven't personally really smelled before.
Because what is it? It's like rose pistachio
milk. It's
like
candied floral
milk. Yeah. And, okay, wait. Lovely and a Little Twisted is a cedarwood, black tea, cardamom, carrot seed, worn in leather, and wildflower. Nope. I'm wrong. Sorry.
That's
not.
Oh, I don't have the box for Lovely more.
Okay. It's okay.
Okay. You know what? This fruit is nice. It's pretty, it's for a citrus, it's very punchy.
Is passion fruit citrus? It's citrus adjacent.
It's tropical?
Tropical, yeah.
It's citrus the way pineapple is a citrus.
Sure, fine. I'll do that.
I'll say that.
Okay, Lovely and a Little Twisted. Rose milk, amber resin, candied pistachio, patchouli, lucid dreams. I can get rid of that last one. this one wouldn't hit me like a rose. Like you can feel it in there, but it's not a rose fragrance.
Yeah.
And this is just weird in the best way.
I agree. It's really pleasant, but then there's like a quirkiness about it that you're like, huh, interesting.
It's ultra easy to love.
Yeah.
It's so nice.
Yeah.
And it's hard to pin down, and I really like that. Yes. Whereas I think Disfruta is quite a lot more literal, but in a way that I'm like, well, I love this, so I'm not complaining. Yeah. I think this is a really impressive, solid launch. I think for $88,
I know.
Some
I
of the
really
girls should be sweating. Yeah. Like, the packaging is so beautifully designed. The imagery is beautifully designed. Everything is so thought through. And the fragrances are great. You know, there are two that I think we're a little less passionate about, but that's fine. They're for someone.
Somewhere But Nowhere
the
is
wood
like
one.
The most textbook Santal sandalwood scent.
I was a little...
I was kind of surprised at how it feels like underthought.
I would agree.
It feels really... The scent itself... Again, the imagery, the marketing, the copy is great. Uh-huh. And then you smell it and you're like, okay, this smells like a carpet.
The copy is actually really promising.
Yeah. They call it a spiced creamy wood, American cedarwood, black tea, cardamom, carrot seeds, worn in leather and wildflower honey. And all I get is kind of like a carpet.
I get a sort of translucent wood.
I mean, yeah, for sure. If you want to smell like a hotel lobby, like this is it.
Probably that, yeah.
Like a modern boutique hotel.
Yeah.
A commuter hotel.
The other one, Sublimity.
I do like Sublimity.
I do too.
It's cute. It's a fragrance.
A sheer solar musk, warm skin, white flowers, coconut nectar, sandalwood, marine musk, and full sun. I think that's exactly it.
Yeah.
It's
more coconutty than
than
it suggests.
Yeah. The only thing I'll say about this one and why it doesn't rise to the top for me or why I don't love it more is that
I've smelled it before.
This is exactly the kind of solar floral that I love, and I do love it.
So it's like a little bit aquatic too.
Yeah. It's very beachy.
Yeah.
It's very, but not in a, not in a like pina colada way.
Yeah.
It's like warm air. I mean, this is fucking nice. It's just my only critique is that I have smelled it before. Yeah. And I want to be careful with that because, yes, there is nothing new under the sun, etc. But this one is pretty close to some other things. Yeah. But for $88, I'd buy it and wear the shit out of it, man.
This is like a fancier looking iteration of those things. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
So I like it. Oh, I like Laura a lot. I would love to chat with the founder and maybe we will.
I do like these better than Noise in terms of like newfangled venture capitalist perfume launches.
Yeah, I think you like Noise more than I think you do. What did I just say? I don't know.
I think I like it more than I do.
Yes.
Okay, no, I don't.
Okay. I
want to like them, so I give them a chance, and every time I'm just like, oh.
I like them. I don't die for them, but I like Noise. I just hate their... I hate their creative. Yeah. I think it...
Their fragrances, though, in this creative would be much dang.
Yeah. Noise creative feels stock to me. It feels like stock imagery. Yeah. The bottles feel a little stock, which I don't feel as passionate about, but I'm just sort of like, there's nothing there for a creative to grab onto. Laura is completely opposite. This did launch directly into Sephora, so I'm curious how much in the kitchen Sephora was with them. I'm sure quite a bit, but that said, we don't have a Libra 2.0. We don't have a lot of the boxes that Sephora likes to check, so I do think... I'm excited to see what's next for Laura. I'm sure there's a lot.
I'm sure they'll do body. I'm sure they'll do candles, home scents.
I want to see Laura's take on body if these bottles are as cool as they are.
Or home scents.
Or home, yeah.
Get a really cool candle vessel.
You know who has, I just saw this last night, I'm sure you know, a really beautiful body collection is Amouage.
Oh,
Their hand bottles are stunning.
All their bottles are pretty.
I want to hear what you think about her.
Ooh, oh my gosh. So I saw that Da Nam, which I believe is a Vietnamese fragrance brand, they launched, I realize this a bit late, their first collection was about Vietnam, their second collection was about Japan, and their third collection, which is kind of slowly rolling out, is about China, and they launched a mooncake scent around the time of the Autumn Harvest Festival, which was, when was the last, like early October, that full moon. So as soon as I saw it, I was like, I got to smell that. So I marched my ass over to Stell to smell it.
Do they have Da Nam in Stell?
They do. Yeah, they do now. I think newly.
Thick.
Yeah.
How many? Because Da Nam has a lot of scents.
They had like eight out. Yeah, okay. Not all of them, but it's so interesting. It's, first of all,
this, it says has you egg, all over it.
The egg-shaped bottle. Yeah. Oh my God, it gives me cute aggression. The scent is so good. I was not expecting necessarily a literal interpretation of a mooncake, and it's not. But what you get is a like gourmand, cakey, almost like waffle coney type of like warm honey with like a little bit of like burnt crust.
This is nice.
So good.
Oh wow. Well, I love Da Nam. I had discovery sets of their last two collections, which I think have eight each, which is
this
crazy.
This is the first scent of theirs I've smelled. So,
oh my God, this is nice. It's nutty. Nice.
Yeah. They meant to, I forgot where the literature went, but they wanted to capture the cakey outside, the salted egg yolk in the center, and the lotus root.
Not to be Caucasian, but can you tell me about mooncakes?
I mean, it's just a little dessert that you eat around the Autumn Harvest Festival, which like, even honestly, like my family was never serious about holidays, any of them. I wouldn't really know about them until I was like, why does everyone have this cake? And they're like, oh, it's the Mooncake Festival. And I was like, oh, that's my family.
And do they all have a yolk inside them?
No, but the yolks are meant to be good luck.
Got it.
So you can have like one yolk or two yolks. There's also like so many rituals with this thing where like you're meant to share them. Okay. So when you cut them, you're supposed to give the side with the yolk to somebody as a gesture. It's also the same reason why like when you go to dim sum, things are often served in odd numbers.
Oh.
Like in threes. So because you're meant to offer the last one as a gesture.
I didn't know that.
Which is funny because I had an aunt once who would always take the last of everything and go, so nobody fights. It was always her move, and I was like, God damn it.
Start that.
I know. It's so funny. So, okay. The mooncake notes, they call out golden syrup, salted egg yolk, mung bean, lotus seed, honey, and vanilla. Which, like, sure. I don't think I would pick out necessarily those individual things.
No. But they're also, like, pretty specific things.
Yeah. I get the overall effect of it, which is just a golden kind of honey, eggy cake. And there's like a little bit of the earthiness of a root and a bean.
Yeah.
You got a bean in there.
Yeah.
Good. I love Da Nam. I'm so happy.
I feel like my experience with them, they balance really literal takes like mooncake, like Vietnamese coffee, which I really like. And then really conceptual.
Yeah.
And they just do it so beautifully. Their collection, I think, is some of the most artistic, innovative, and just beautiful, holistic collections that totally. I've smelled in the last couple of years. There's one, and I think it's called Moonlit Samurai. And I believe it's their take, I could be wrong, on like leather and floral. I'm trying to remember. What I do remember is how much
Moonlight Samurai, yeah.
I loved it.
Sake, steel, sword, leather armor, wildflowers, and cedarwood.
Okay, so I was kind of right.
Yeah.
That one is a stunner. And there's one about like hay that they do, which is so lovely.
I remember that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Strawberry mochi.
Yeah. I actually really liked strawberry mochi too. And that was one that I was kind of, again, where like, I don't think I like fruit. And I smelled it and I was like, wait, this is so much more than fruit.
Well, that one's a lot more rice dough than strawberry. Yes, it's a lot more mochi than strawberry, right?
And that's why I really liked it.
Yeah.
What else? I smelled the white rice scent, which is really nice.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I feel like it gets the effect of like, when you open the rice cooker and like the steam kind of puffs up in your face, it's like that scent. Steam. Yeah, the starchy steam. But other than that, white rice was very, almost kind of fresh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, there was like a fresh, it reminded me a lot of all of those green tea scents from the 90s.
Yep.
Like Elizabeth Arden green tea. It kind of reminded me of that. But I want to smell all of them. I will eventually. I nabbed some Decant Soft Scent Splits. I'm still waiting for those to arrive.
I really want, and if anyone does this, I will tap litigation. I'm surprised that no one's done a sort of milk tea boba fragrance because I feel like that would just go nuts. If we're asking, though, I mean, we're pretty, between the two of us, connected and lurky in the fragrance world. And I don't...
Me Googling boba tea perfume.
Yeah.
There's an Urban Outfitters scent called Mochi Glow.
Sounds problematic to me.
Yeah. There's a Reddit thread. Perfumes that smell like a boba shop / tea shop.
Okay, well, I'm not looking at Reddit because
no.
Incel behavior. So you asked if any brand would like to partner and bring to life a boba fragrance, let me know. And if you do,
there are
me,
many from houses that I have never ever heard of. So
well,
I'll see you in court. This is appropriate.
Me saying, you want to partner with my white ass to make a milky boba fragrance that I know nothing about? I'll just project manage it.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. We all need allyship.
So. Yes.
Oh, also another thing that launched this week that I really enjoyed and that fucked up my whole sleep schedule was going to the Nuco event for their nostalgia collection. The Nuco released 3 scents at once, which is a first for them, based on nostalgia. And
can I say something?
Okay.
I'm over it. We gotta move on. We have
done with the past.
We have done too much with nostalgia. And like, I'm fucking watching all these goddamn fragrance reels. It smells so nostalgic. It smells so... What does that mean?
That's true.
That's not a profile. Like, nostalgic to what?
Yeah.
Like, I think that Marc Jacobs Daisy Love smells nostalgic to the Barbie body lotion that I had when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. That is a reference. Yeah. Nostalgia doesn't smell like anything. Use your words. Enough.
They don't know how.
Go on, Sable.
So anyway.
Yeah, give me some direction here. I'm excited about these, but I don't know where
to start. This is a generalized nostalgia collection because it's kind of like life phases. The first one is called First Milk. So it's like the baby scent.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, the name is evocative and for better or worse. But I actually really like First Milk.
No.
It's like vanilla and it's like lactonic vanilla, honestly. It's a musky lactonic vanilla. It's very pretty. It's very cozy. It's very soft.
Oh, it's like quite musky.
Yeah. They're all quite musky, and they're all billed as gourmands, which
I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, they have gourmand notes in them. I personally would not necessarily be like, this is a gourmand, but like, sure. Guess if you have milk in it, it's a gourmand.
This is much more of a you collection.
Yes, it is.
And how has always been. Sorry, I mean the Nuco in general.
Yeah.
But this I'm excited about because, you know, I love a gourmand and these bottles are cute.
Cute. Yeah. These are the first times I'm seeing their new rebranded bottles, which are really cool. The second nostalgia one is called Pastime, which is what you have. And I'll be honest, I forget what the story. If you read the bottle, it says in it.
The way my eyes have gotten so bad. This is an aging podcast. The now, shaped by everything before, smells like skin, but better. Smells like skin, but better. With notes of caramel, gentle oud, sandalwood, and cardamom to evoke comfort and intimacy.
I think it's a very balanced take on all those things.
It's pretty muted too. Like, it's pretty woody.
Yeah. I agree.
Woody and Musky.
That one kind of reminds me of their functional fragrance, the first one.
Yes, 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 yes. It's nice. This is not a me fragrance, but it's nice. Yeah.
And then the third, nostalgia, the end of life nostalgia. What? The past, present, future. This one is called Otherwhere. The bottle says, a memory you can't place but can't let go of, leading with amber, resin, ambrette, sandalwood, and musk to evoke comfort and intimacy. I actually really like this one. It's musky and a little bit dry spice and woody. I love ambrette, though. I'm a sucker for ambrette.
And ambrette is like amber, right?
No. It's like a musky... it's kind of like a musky seed. Actually, ambrette is actually the seed of hibiscus.
Okay.
Which is funny because like they don't smell alike to me.
This, again, is not me, but it's pretty. Of anything we've smelled today, this smells like an expensive hotel. Okay. I have to tell you something after this. Sorry, we'll wrap this up and remind me. Let's put a pin in that.
Expensive hotel. Got it.
But this is so nice.
I really like that one, Otherwhere. You can layer them. You can like pick which one you like the most and wear it as its own. I feel like Otherwear and First Milk Layered would be really nice.
Okay.
But it's a really well-done collection. And Frank Vogel did all of them.
Oh, these scream Frank Vogel.
Yes. Oh, yeah. They're so up his alley. He did the first original, the functional fragrance as well, so it makes sense.
Right. Okay, yeah. Wait. The vanilla, this is not ADA compliant.
No.
It's white on white, please. Looking at white text on a white bottle. Thank you, Nuco. our first scent memory, a soft embrace of early... connection. This is so embarrassing. I can't read this. To evoke comfort and intimacy, blending almond milk, tonka bean, French vanilla, and pink pepper. Okay. These are cool. These are definitely not for me, but I'm excited to wear them because
That really is illegible. Wow. I feel like these will do really well.
Yeah. I feel like, and I don't mean this, I of course mean this in a celebratory way, like the Glossier girl will love these.
Oh, yeah.
But these are more interesting than a lot of the stuff in her collection. This is nice. This other underwear, what is it called?
Otherwear.
Gets better as it's really it nice. Goes.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Okay. I remember I really liked Forest Lungs.
You love Forest Lungs.
The original functional fragrance was very, very sandalwoody, santali.
Yes.
Which I'm like, eh.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. I always think Forest Songs is the first, but it's not.
No.
It's a scent.
It was the second one. And then they have like a water therapy one. They have Mind Energy. I remember we spoke with Steven Nielsen, who was the perfumer who did that one. They all have their neurologically studied evidence, clinical evidence that they improve your mood. I don't remember what the clinicals were on these three.
Oh, but these have clinicals with them
too. They all do, yeah. Because they're all functional.
Sure.
But I just think they're nice perfumes and they smell nice.
They're quite nice. What's the price point?
I don't know. Let me look it up.
Wait, man. This third one, it's like...
They're $125.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
That's not terrible.
That's like getting sweet.
Otherwise good, dude.
Huh.
There's something almost like vetivery about it.
Okay. On the tip of expensive hotels. Last week... We're, knock on wood, pretty ahead with episodes right now. I've got a lot banked. And so we did not record last week. And my same-sex marital partner and I decided to sort of run around Chelsea and go to a bunch of galleries and get a drink at this new hotel, the Faina, that finally opened. It's like a very expensive, very opulent hotel. I believe first in Miami.
That's what I've seen it in Miami.
Yeah, and now opened here.
There might be one in Rio de Janeiro,
that
I think.
Probably checks too. Mm-hmm. And we're like, fuck it, we're here. Let's just check it out. And the most, again, like opulent, rich bitch shit, whatever. Just, it's very loud. It's the opposite of quiet luxury. It is spooky. Oh, it's sort of like a Printemps as a hotel.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
Overstimulating.
Very, very that. It's gorgeous if that's your thing. I sort of appreciate that, like, loudness for loudness sake and not being like obnoxious and like super minimal. Anyway.
You want to be in a place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We go, we get a drink. It's like really nice. And then we're walking out and the whole time I'm smelling their like signature scent, which is very clearly being pumped through the HVAC. But I tell you, that was the worst hotel scent I have ever smelled. And I hate being negative on the show, and please don't misunderstand me, but the fine is going to be fine. It smelled like an old man's aftershave. And I commend them for doing something
That's
different.
That's an interesting choice.
Yeah. For not doing a sandalwood.
Yeah, yeah.
For not doing something really, you know, obvious. But I was like, whoo, man, this is a choice that I would have not made.
Yeah, why that?
But it's memorable.
Yeah.
You know?
In the best way, or
I don't know, but I said to him, I was like, It's the worst fucking smelling place I've ever been in. But
yeah,
shout out
I've noticed that, like, maybe this is just speaking to my tax bracket, but most hotels smell like sandalwood, yeah. Which I feel like is a very mid-range smell. When you get to places like the Baccarat, obviously it smells like Baccarat Rouge.
Yeah.
They have their own unique signature scents, as does the Fena.
Yeah.
And they're usually a big swing.
Yeah. I think sandalwood is an obvious choice because it's familiar and homey and comforting.
I think it's like the Sandalwood Hotel lobby scent to me is kind of like the white box apartment of hotels.
Totally.
It's just like so basic, but it's meant to be luxury, but it's like a little bit soulless at this point.
Totally. Yeah. No, I think
maybe that's the first person who did it, it was unique.
Yeah.
Who was it? Was it the Ace Hotel or the Arlo?
I mean, I'm sure it goes back. I was just at the Arlo.
They have a sandalwood.
They are pumping that sandalwood in. But I walk in and I'm like, you know, I get it. You know, I understand it. It's just sort of a cue to this, safety, luxury, hominess.
Millennial luxury.
Yeah. Let's talk about men.
Sure.
Okay, let me start here. Yeah. You've smelled these. I haven't really.
Oh, really? Well.
If you can tell by the tone.
Yeah. Well.
Ellis Brooklyn just released two
new
men's fragrances, which.
Why? I want to know why.
Yeah.
Why?
I'm sort of there with you.
Just why?
Well, I feel that. There's a larger, I'm getting to a larger place and I'm using this as the way in. But, you know, obviously fragrance doesn't have gender. I think that we all understand that now. I really like Ellis Brooklyn quite a bit. I will say that all of their scents, I mean, any scent smells great in any gender. But I think a quick look at the brand, you know, it's going to read feminine and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But does that
necessarily... They're not hyper feminine. I feel like they're modern feminine where they're kind of like a little minimal almost.
I don't know.
I don't see a lot of flourishes or overly girly things about them.
I'm going to sort of disagree with you. If you look sort of holistically at the brand, it reads feminine, like, which is fine. But I mean,
the bottles are kind of square and angular.
Yeah. But is the solution to that then a men's collection or is it...
A solution to what problem?
Right. But if you are trying to expand... Mm-hmm. What about just bringing men into your current collection instead of making a men's
line? Making just a more of like a neutralized.
Yeah. Because I want, just put a guy in a campaign. Who cares? Just
put a guy in a campaign.
I want to smell vanilla milk on a man. I really want to smell Miami Nectar on a man.
Yeah.
I want to smell all their shit on a man.
No, but these are like extremely male cologne coated. I mean, one of them has the name man in it. This one doesn't.
Vanilla man.
Which
that name
I'm
is
sorry,
like.
Sorry, that's so funny.
It's kind of a scream.
It's so funny. The other one is called Worth Avenue, which feels a little scary.
Yeah. You are not passionate about Worth Avenue, right? Vanilla Man, I think, is lovely. I think it smells quite like a Parfums de Marly fragrance.
Yeah. Wait, what is the little cart?
Vanilla Man
tells
you, I'm not speaking to this mic, they're going to whack me. Warm, rich, and modern. Vanilla, oh God. Vanilla, but make it rich, spicy, and masculine. Vanilla Man is dedicated to a guy who's always in the know. The one who influences tastes with their refined choices. Top, bergamot, peel, mandarin, leaves, fresh juniper, mid, clary sage, lavender bud, warm incense, dry vanilla absolute, cedarwood atlas, and smoky vetiver. It's nice. It's a deep, sticky vanilla, round vanilla.
Yeah. The scent itself is nice.
It is nice.
Yeah. I just don't understand why it needed to be man.
Yeah. I mean, they have so many vanillas.
Yeah.
That I'm sort of like, just bring men in. Yeah. Just put a guy in the campaign.
Yeah. So it just makes me wonder why.
Well, the second place I'm going is the brand Sniff, who, you know, I like. They have a sub brand, No Noses Inc., that I really like. That's sort of their experimental brand. They're now launching another sub brand.
Why?
Called
it's for men. Men do not need help smelling.
Well,
they're smelling.
The collection is called Noteworks with no second O, so Noteworks.
Noteworks.
And it tells you the future of cologne. Noteworks is remixing fragrance, built for moods, not genders, rooted in classic formulas and built for the present. Music meets mood meets scent. Okay, fine. But then the subcopy says, Meet Noteworks, our new sub-brand that challenges the idea of traditional cologne, designed for modern men and masculine scent lovers. So it's like, at first we're saying moods, not genders, and then we're saying for the modern man.
People really need to get their copy tighter.
I'm sort of like,
you gotta get it.
One, pick people. A fucking lane. And two, I think Sniff has done the thing that I'm sort of wanting Ellis to do of bringing everyone into the scent conversation and showing all genders in campaigns. We don't need a sub-brand for men. I don't know. Yeah. Like, what is the point here?
What we are seeing is the advent of now that all the teenage boys are smell maxing, all the brands are like, we got to get these teenage boys.
That's we're seeing such the advent of that a good
right now.
Read on that.
Yeah.
My read, and it's a little bit more end of the world, is like,
oh, you this know, will end the world.
We're all slipping so yes. far back oh, into yeah. like, you
we
know.
Yeah, we are regressing.
Regressing
we're into in a regression, fucking for sure.
Conservatism and gender roles and all of that, that I think that brands may see a need for men's collections where there is not one still. And it does bum me out that, you know, I'm trying to make a case for Ellis that like maybe they read more feminine, but I think that there's a way to change that without doing a men's line that.
I don't think they do, but that's my opinion.
I think without seeing the campaigns, you wouldn't get that. But I think if you look at
the brand holistically. I'm thinking of the bottles.
Bottles, fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, bottles, I'm with you. Yeah. If I just walked into Sephora as a man, like as I often do. Like a
very sans serif font.
Totally.
Very blocky.
But if I'm shopping on the site, I'd be like, oh, these are for women.
Yeah.
So I think there's a way to do
it's
that.
It's entirely possible that they're like, we're not getting enough of the male demo. Right. Let's do this. Okay, so like Worth Avenue. The tagline is alpha.
No.
I do not lie. It says alpha, period. Fresh, period. Powerful, period. A fresh take on the men's power fragrance. Worth Avenue is for those who know their worth. Inspired by the decadence of Palm Beach, Worth Avenue is a nouveau classic. What the hell does any of that mean? The notes are twist of lemon, cardamom pod, white pepper, lavender suede accord, angelica seed EO, I think that means essential oil, geranium, cedarwood blend, and then in parentheses, Virginia plus Atlas, ambrox super, and patchouli. This just honestly gives me men's cologne TM. You know,
I actually like this better than the first time.
It's not bad, but it's very, very like, you smelled this before.
It's very.
Yeah. Men's cologne. This is like
the
classic men's cologne formula.
Definitely not bad.
Yeah. Whenever I see lavender in a men's cologne, I think of the Sauvages of the world. Yeah. And this does have a little bit of that.
Yeah.
You know who would love this? My brother.
Canceled.
And that is a read.
I just like, you know, marketing both reflects culture and responds to it.
Yeah.
And we're both close enough to fragrance that I think we can actually speak. We have some credibility in the space to speak to it. I don't know. It's just important to sort of look at what we're being sold and think about it before we get all excited, because I have seen a ton of, let me be compassionate here, sorry, because I love newness. I love new sub brands. I love it all. But I'm like, if we're going to do another sub brand sniff, when I saw this, I first thought it was about like music and like moods and whatever. I was like, okay, cool. Like that's something. And then I was like, then I saw them say, it's not for genders, but it is for men. And I'm just sort of like, We were doing so well. We were all rooting for you.
I have never yelled at a girl. I really think, honestly, it's just whatever they think is going to sell. I think, yes, we are in a regression culturally. Mm-hmm. It's truly just because we're seeing the cultural regression, I think everyone's really scared of an economic recession. Mm-hmm. So everyone's like, we just need to make whatever shit's going to sell. Well, of course. Literally what it is. It's just all informed by that.
I just I think there's a way to do all of this without gendering it so hard. And these are two brands that don't need to do
that. They don't need to do it.
I understand why like the Pradas and the Burberrys of the world have a men's and women's, because they're super mass, super luxe, and they're on the department store counters, which are gendered. That's the market that they're playing in.
Yeah.
These don't need to, especially Sniff.
Yeah, that's super weird.
It's a bummer.
No, they're both weird, honestly.
Yeah.
Both super weird to do this.
Yeah.
I remember when you sent me a screenshot of like the preview for Vanilla Man.
Yeah.
And I literally thought it was a meme. I thought you were like doing a joke and having a little haha moment.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you're serious. Oh, this is serious.
Yeah.
This is a real thing that exists.
Yeah. So, capitalism, heard of it? I sent this headline to Kara and Rachel this morning. It was, I'm sure, I know you got this email. Flamingo Estate and Monica Lewinsky introduce Blossoming Camellia. And I just sent that to them. I was like, what stage of capitalism is this? Yep.
It's their anti-bullying candle.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
They had to get past Pamela's pickles to do Monica's whatever this
is. It's really like all of the women of the 90s, truly.
True.
Just all the women in pop culture against their will.
It sounds like it's very with their will.
Yeah. Well, now I'm smelling Vanilla Man and I'm like, that's nice.
I'd rather smell any of their vanillas on a man.
Yeah.
Rather than Vanilla Man.
This is nice. I think this is a nice scent. I just feel like it's so funny. I'm sorry.
Vanilla Man. What a name.
Vanilla Man.
Did no one think that through? Like, we don't see Vanilla any other Man. Like innuendos connotations here. Like,
everybody needs help. We are open to consult. Anyway.
Yeah, but like when you're playing in the mass space like that, like you're gonna get what you're gonna get, right? Like you have a lot of cooks in the kitchen, a lot of people to please. I am compassionate to that. However, I'm not compassionate to the name Vanilla Man.
I'm compassionate to the creative team who said probably like, okay, but that's not what I would do, and then watch them do
it. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, last thing. I have a huge bag for you.
Yay. I love live presents. Mm. Yay.
There's a lot in here, but there's one I want to talk to you about here. I'm handing Sable a serviette discovery set. What is it called? Bubonic Plague?
What?
Byronic Hero. That one is the only one I've worn from this collection.
Okay.
It goes so crazy.
Okay.
The reason I called it in, it has a note of diesel exhaust.
Oh. Wait, but there's also one called Sour Diesel. Interesting.
I know.
Okay.
Well, you know, Sour Diesel is a weed strain.
Oh, no. I don't know anything about weed.
Well, neither do I, but I do know that. Serviettes.
Is it really packaging?
The whole thing is just so nicely done. So, Byronic Hero. And it's funny because I sprayed it on before reading about it and I was like, this is incredible. Had I read about it first, I think I would have been like, no, this is not for me. It has notes of clove, saffron, rose, fir balsam, oud, patchouli, and diesel exhaust.
Oh, that's nice.
On skin, this goes nuts. This goes absolutely crazy. But it doesn't really smell like any of that.
Uh-huh.
It's so cool.
Interesting.
I mean,
very cool.
Definitely one of the scents that I've been most excited about like all year.
I love that it has a little napkin.
You know, it's great.
So cute. A little serviette.
So I'm excited to wear my way through that collection. Perhaps we'll talk to Trey, who was at our scent swap with Arbel.
Yeah. I think that's where I met him.
I think so, too. And I did not remember. And then I was very embarrassed. I emailed him and introduced myself. He was like, we've met. Oh, so, no, he was sweet about it. I was like, I'm sorry. My social anxiety was beating my ass that day. We're back. More to come on Serviette. I know that y'all are excited about them. And I am just getting my feet wet with them. So excited about that.
Cool.
Well.
Have we smelled everything? We smelled everything this week.
Yeah, this is cool. Glossier Lily Hayes.
Oh, yeah. I got the Glossier candle in Lily Hayes, which is their newest scent. Mm-hmm. For their holiday collection. It's apricot. It's nice.
Yeah.
They released this in a body spray as well, which I don't know if it's limited edition. I think it might be.
Okay.
I do think a candle is it, though.
This, to me, smells like a sister of Glossier Fleur
in that makes sense.
Approach. It's much different, but...
This is like Glossier Fruit instead of Glossier Fleur.
Glossier Fruit. Glossier Pulp.
Yeah, but the apricot's really nice. I wonder if they'll absorb it into their permanent collection. They probably will.
I would think so.
Yeah. They do a really good holiday release, I'll say.
This year's especially is quite good. I saw it and I was like, God damn it.
I know. Yeah. You said it. I was like, unfortunately, I do be wanting these.
Well, that was your scent catch up for
the past 2 weeks.
October.
For October.
A lot of really exciting things coming, but we wanted to circle up and just chat through some fun things. So cool.
You should give us 5 stars. If you like this episode, and a lovely comment on Spotify, if you Spotify. You can say anything you want. Just give us 5 stars.
We could use some love on Apple Music.
Yeah, I use Spotify. Tynan uses Apple Music. So I get all the nice comments. He gets all
Yeah, like, damn. Whatever, we still have a great rating. But some of y'all have some opinions on us.
You know what? You can say with a 5-star rating.
Exactly. Yeah. We support freedom of speech.
Yeah, even if it's against us. You can visit our website at smellyoulater.live, where we have our brand new, very cute merch. Leave us a voice note there as well, if you'd like, and maybe we will address it on a future episode. Follow us on Instagram. We're at smellyoulater.mp3. I'm at Sabletooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will smell you later.